Welcome to another edition of Get Lit with Literature. This is Monk. You can find out more at my website, allbook-books.com. So, I don't know about other readers, and no offense to writers, myself included, but when you read a lot, when I read a lot, how much can you actually remember? I mean, if I start talking about a book I read, maybe more will come back to me. But some books I've read, basically, what stands out is a line or some little bit of information. And that's why I'm calling this show one-liners. Because that's sometimes the gist of all I remember, if that much, from a whole book. It could be 150 pages or 400 pages. But I do gather information and try to learn as much as I can, but sometimes I'm kind of panning for gold, and that little nugget is what comes out of it. So that's why I wanted to do a little show just mentioning different books I've read and the kind of one-liner I got out of it. Like there's Michelle Alexander's The New Jim Crow, a New York Times bestseller. One of the one-liners from that is at the beginning of the book, where she says that drug use was going down when the war on drugs started. Drug use was going down. That's why I call it the war of drugs. It was a war of drugs, not on drugs. Then it was like 20, 30, however many years later, and all the articles come out saying that the war on drugs was a failure. And there's a book I mention a lot, Open Veins of Latin America, 5 Centuries of the Pillaging of a Continent by Eduardo Galeano. And that just flat out convinced me of the way the global system works, because he shows in heart-wrenching, heart-opening writing that the wealth and the riches of Europe and then later the United States is built on slave labor, indigenous labor, people sweating, suffering in the mines, etc., etc. But that led to the ornate and very classy, the ornate and stylized architecture, artwork, fine this, fine that. So yeah, it's lovely, but it's consider what was built on the backs of the migrants, the natives, the slaves. Let's see, The Journey of Crazy Horse by Joseph M. Marshall III. That's got a lot of history in it. Oral history, too. That's a key thing. Most Western, Euro-Western writing is, by book history, but Native peoples, it's oral history. So one of the things that stood out in that book, or the thing that stood out to me in that book, was that Crazy Horse would go up into the hills, and he was off by himself a lot, and he was, whatever he was doing, envisioning or contemplating what to do for his people or whatever, but it was just that he went off on his own. And that helps me sometimes when I feel like, hey, I'm over in this field, aside from the big town, and I'm staring at the tree, or I'm over by the water staring out at the bay, and there's nobody around, and oh yeah, Crazy Horse did that. Actually, I learned that's not his, actually the better translation of his name is something like He Whose Horse is Enchanted. And then David Vine's Base Nation, 1940. The unofficial starting of the modern base nation, U.S. military bases era, because there were forts during the 1800s, during all the attacks on the native peoples. There were forts, could be considered the first army military bases, but what started the modern era, which they're now like, last I heard, 800 to over 1,000 military bases worldwide. So 1940 was a start of that. And Jack Forbes' book, Columbus and Other Cannibals. Now, the natives have a term, a phrase called wetiko, which means like insane. It's a Cree term, Wendigo in Ojibwe, Wintiko in Wetiko is a Cree term, Wendigo in Ojibwe, Wintiku. Yeah, little, where you at? Where you at, little? Diddly, 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 diddly. Wetiko is a Cree term, Wendigo in Ojibwe, and Wintiko in Powhatan refers to a cannibal, or more specifically to an evil person or spirit who terrorizes other creatures by means of terrible evil acts, including cannibalism. Yeah, another interpretation is just basically flat out insane. So that book helped me, like, again, be convinced in things that I contemplate, and just doesn't it seem that the system is a little off, and doesn't it seem that things are a bit askew or corrupt or whatever other adjective, and then I realize, no, it's just fucking insane. It's crazy. It's just flat out crazy twisted. Yeah, now I'm walking around looking at the bookshelves, so if the audio sounds different. Daniel R. Wildcat, Red Alert, Saving the Planet with Indigenous Knowledge. That one showed me that every locale, you have to be true to one's locale. Any answers to climate chaos or whatever, that each locale is significant. There's no across the board one answer. Tobin Hart, PhD, The Secret Spiritual World of Children, one of the best books I've ever read, and I highly recommend to anybody who works with children or is a parent or will be a parent, showing the just the worlds and innate levels within a child, just astounding. One child empathetic, so did poorly in school because the child picked up on the teacher was going through relationship problems or whatever she was going on with. So the child picked up on the emotions and did poorly in school. So was the child a bad student? No, she was empathetic. And then some other, more than once, little kids that fell out of a huge building and fell many, many flights down to the ground and were unhurt. And they said, the men in the golden suits, the men in the golden suits saved them, helped them. Just in general, that book just showing the multi-layers of, like, I think it was Shakespeare, our father's house has many mansions, or maybe that was the Bible. So each of us, there's many, many worlds within, many layers. And little kids, they're not stupid. They could be some of the smartest people. It's just they don't know how to express it yet. But they live it, and they know it. Vine Deloria Jr., God is Red. Excellent for simply conveying the consciousness of the original people's connection with the earth. The subtitle is A Native View of Religion, that the way that things that are superimposed onto other cultures about religion just don't cut it when you come to original peoples, because that they are already interconnected with the land and the rivers and everything. So that's a whole different view than the Euro-Western view. Elon Pape, PAPPE, The Ethnic Cleansing of Palestine, The Formation of the Jewish State, a highly documented book, just based on just horrific, horrendous, Nazi-esque, as the title explains, Ethnic Cleansing of Palestine. That book flat out convinced me. A book that I used for a lot of research for my recent book, and Marshall McLuhan's The Gutenberg Galaxy. Amazing for unraveling what the printing press effects are and the whole sense of English language and literature and letters, how that's been used as a commodification and mind-washing. And a book I'm still wanting to read, but it's so in-depth, it's tricky, a hard book to read, by Charles Freeman, AD 381.
heretics, pagans, and the dawn of the monotheistic state. That was a key turning point in where things got narrow-minded and the nuances went away. Everything became prescripted and prescribed. AD 381. The universe in a single atom. His Holiness the Dalai Lama. That showed me how much the Tibetan people are like master psychologists, able to detect and analyze and interpret every emotion and reaction and where it comes from and what the origin is, and to be able to think and emote clearly, to not just, you know, sometimes people overreact or their emotions don't fit their feelings, their emotions don't fit the actual reality of what's going on. Tom Burgess, a looting machine. Warlords, oligarchs, corporations, smugglers, and the theft of Africa's wealth. That's like for Africa what Eduardo Galeano's book, Open Veins of Latin America, is. And Democracy Incorporated by Sheldon Wolin. Manage Democracy and the Specter of Inverted Totalitarianism. Excellent for showing the corporate takeover of America and the smiley face, to the point where in inverted totalitarianism, people are walking around with a smiley face. They don't even realize they're under the totalitarian boot. And that's just a few. That's a bunch. Those are some of my top books. Secret Affairs by Mark Curtis. Secret Affairs by Mark Curtis. Britain's Collusion with Radical Islam. That's another one. They call it the War on Terror. I call it the War of Terror. Because that book showed, as the subtitle says, Britain's collusion with radical Islam. Not fighting, but with. Secret Affairs. In the Dark Places of Wisdom by Peter Kingsley. That one reminder, you can go inside yourself like a banana under the skin, like a caterpillar in the chrysalis becoming a butterfly. You can go inside and find the wisdom. And a more recent one, Peter Phillips' Giants, the Global Power Elite. A look at the top 389 most powerful players in world capitalism. We call it the elites, or John Trudeau called it the industrial ruling class, but there's a small minority of people that control a huge amount of stuff. That's why it's called giants. And I'll finish up with another one, a longtime favorite I've mentioned a lot, Paul Reps and Naya Jin Senzaki, Zen Flesh, Zen Bones, a collection of Zen and pre-Zen writings. There's a story in there about a marrow. And that one, I gotta get the book out to wrap this up with a little story. The first Zen patriarch, Bodhidharma, brought Zen to China from India in the 6th century. According to his biography recorded in the year 1004 by the Chinese teacher Dogen, after 9 years in China, Bodhidharma wished to go home and gathered his disciples about him to test their apperception. Dofuku said, "In my opinion, truth is beyond affirmation or negation, for this is the way it moves." And Bodhidharma replied, "You have my skin." The nun Soji said, "In my view, it is like Ananda's sight of the Buddha land, seen once and forever." Bodhidharma answered, "You have my flesh." Doiku said, "The four elements of light, airiness, fluidity, and solidity are empty," in other words, inclusive, "and the five skandhas are no things, in my opinion, no thing." In other words, spirit is reality. In my opinion, no thing is reality. Bodhidharma commented, "You have my bones." Finally, Ika bowed before the master and remained silent. Bodhidharma said, "You have my marrow." And that's the punchline for that book title, Zen Flesh, Zen Bones, but go for the marrow. All right, thank you for listening. Have a good day. Be well.